Tai Chi needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep. He can't hang around. Ayo's house
in the middle of our street.
Ayo's house
in the middle of
our... Ayo's house. Mike Bartner is back. Before we get into everything, the draft, Dead End Dauber, Matthew Schaefer, Hollywood Jack, take care of some housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow the Isles House account at Isles House. Follow me at Ethan GSN, Jack at Isles Den, Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy. Follow Mike at Mike Bartner. Is that the Twitter handle, Mike?
Yeah.
Subscribe to Mike on YouTube and all social media, where he's putting out tremendous content on a frequent basis. Mike, welcome back, recurring guest.
I'm happy to be here, dude. It feels like freaking Christmas Eve with what we got tomorrow, and hopefully more coming as well.
Shafe Eve, as you called it.
Shafe Eve.
I like that. Eve.
All right, first up on the rundown for the pre-draft pod. It's what's on everyone's mind. And Rocco, fingers crossed, Jack, fingers crossed, that this does get done. But at this point, maybe not before this episode gets released tonight. Noah Dobson. Let's talk about it. Rocco, kick us off real quick. Let's just get maybe, I don't know, a recap of the news, what's going on, what we've been hearing, so on and so forth.
So, I mean, should I jump right into the teams right now that are...
Well, let's talk first. He's traded. He's gone.
I would be shocked. Like, what percentage would you put this at, Ethan? I'm at about 95. He's gone.
Yeah, me too.
95, fair.
95.
Jack, 40, what are you guys at?
It's like 100% for me. He's as good as gone.
Yeah, and you know, you have this right-handed defenseman, and you know how coveted they are around the league. And when you think about,
I hate this argument. By the way, I know you're not making. I know you're.
I'm the unicorn argument, but
no,
I'm saying,
I know you're not.
Everyone, the outside perspective is this is a unicorn. Mm-hmm. And I don't know as much about Barty's perspective on this, but I know the three of us are kind of okay slash happy this is going to happen, because
I'm not too happy about it, actually.
But I think you're not happy about the potential return more so than him just going, because you have issues with him throughout the season.
It's a little bit of both, for sure.
Right. So the thing is, you run down the list of everything he is. How old is he? 26? 26-year-old defenseman, 6'4".
25.
Right-handed defenseman, put up 70 points 1 year. Like, we should all be upset that this is even a scenario, but none of us are. And I think
I'm upset about it.
All right, Jack's upset.
Yeah, I'm not happy about it.
Those of us on the East Coast and not in La La Land aren't upset. So
that is true.
So it's just one of these things. And I think for Ethan and I, it's the eye test that bothers us so much. It's the body language. It's getting beat to pucks, the defensive lapses, turnovers. And quite frankly, he didn't even, to me, where he showed good offense, but he had stretches where there was practically no offense. So I could understand retaining the player at 6 mil, 7 mil, even 8 mil, I would have been accepting. But these numbers now, north of 10 sounds like a guarantee, correct, Ethan? Close to a guarantee.
I don't know, man. Like, yeah, that's what he wants. That's what he wants.
Okay.
The coveted 8x10.
Yes.
Or more, depending on the tax situation of where he's landing. And you want my personal opinion is that this trade would be done if there were a handful of teams that were like, okay, no problem.
I agree.
I just tweeted it out.
It's like the who want me meme, and it's like 100% now. Nobody wants him at that fucking price, and yet he's still asking for it.
It's so conflicting, because do I think he's worth 10 million? Honestly, no, but I really struggle with our right side when I look at it. Polak struggled massively. Mayfield is a third pairing defenseman. I don't have a problem with him. Like, when we got Schaefer, I was thinking, okay, like, this is actually the first time that I think we've had a left-handed shot playing with Dobson in this role, like a first-pairing role that's capable of also elevating Dobson's game. I love Romanov, but I don't think he's that kind of player. I don't think he's a first pairing guy. And I thought it was like the right time to just invest in him. And now, like, okay, you have him on the table as a trade offer, and these teams don't even want to pay him $10 million. And it's like, it's hard because I can't be mad at us for not paying it and exploring the trade market. But it just, I feel like this move sets us back massively if we don't get a right-handed shot in return, or at least sometime soon. Like, I just...
But Jack, here's the thing. I this is going to be incredibly easy to convince you on. I already know it. I'm going to just interrogate you briefly.
Yeah, let's do it.
No, let's just say Noah Dobson gets an 8x9 from the New York Islanders. Are the New York Islanders a serious contender next year?
Not yet.
Okay. So would you say that regardless of whether or not Noah Dobson is on the roster next year, the Islanders are not a contender then? A serious one?
Next year,
they're probably
no
a couple
way.
Years away. Okay.
Next year, no. Mm-hmm. Under any circumstance, so, not next
with a,
season.
With a rising cap situation and a farm system that is burgeoning, is it far-fetched to say that, okay, maybe they don't have a really good right side this year, but maybe next year they find a top pairing right D?
It's so hard to find them. That's the problem. Like, I'm looking at these guys available. I actually wrote out an entire list. I think best.
That's fine. But you don't need, like, with Schaefer coming in, you don't need an absolute stud top pairing right defenseman. You just need someone who's serviceable at that point. That's the goal. And when I look at Noah Dobson and I see someone who's got contract demands as high as he does, and I see someone who's not a lockdown defender, cannot quarterback a power play, isn't physical, and is not among like the elite offensive defenseman talents in the league, where you can, to the extent where you can overlook his defensive deficiencies, right? Like a Burns or a Carlson were at points. There's no benefit to the New York Islanders giving this guy as much money as Matt Barzal is getting. And I understand, like, you're not supposed to think that way anymore.
I agree with that.
Return is in theory supposed to help you build this team. And if you're not going to be a contender next year, regardless, then you stack on top of that. So that would be my counter argument to those who are afraid of letting go of Noah Dobson, is just that. And I want to give you a chance to finish up your thoughts before tossing it to Mike, who has only said one thing, and it was a verbal meme. And I want his thoughts.
Yeah, no, I'm curious.
I'm not overstepping.
I'm curious of what Mike thinks on Dobson also, but as you said, like, I do think it's egregious. I think his ask is egregious, and honestly, I don't love him as a player, but I think he's a good player. It's like I like Romanov better than him. Like, I enjoy.
That's why he's an Islander. That's why he's an Islander, Jack. It's because he's the mushy middle.
Yeah, it's just with Dobson though. It's egregious thinking that he should get paid more than Barzal, Horvat, all these guys. Like, he's just, I don't know. I don't think he's been as impactful to the team as they have on a consistency level. But I will, the only point I'll counter that you made, which only one out of all the ones you made is pretty good on your end, but the power play, like how he can't quarterback the power play. Like, I thought the same thing. And then I watched Tony DeAngelo come in, who I think that is something he's always been good at. You watch Boqvist come in, the power play still is terrible. I just wanted to see him under
a system. I understand. Yeah, you want to see him in a better system, and I would tend to agree with you on that. But just from like a raw skill perspective, I don't think he's an elite puck carrying defenseman. He's not someone that you can rely on to go coast to coast and help your team get into the offensive zone and set up on the power play, period.
He's not.
So that would be my counter. Mike, I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah, for me, I wanted like 8x8.5. I thought that would be okay. $9 million, I probably would have swallowed. I would have been like, not good for an RFA, but you got to keep him there. Now that we have Schaefer, and I'm so high on Schaefer that I think in 3 years he'll be better than what Noah Dobson is right now. I think that he is going to be that good and eventually a franchise defenseman. I just can't justify giving him anything over $9 million. And I think, like Ethan said, the mushy middle, if you're trading him, I don't want to trade him for like just like a Jordan Kyrou straight up. I don't want some kind of guy in their mid-20s that isn't going to seriously move this team, especially when we're going the younger route by getting a Cal Ritchie, by getting a Matthew Schaefer. I would prefer more of a futures package for Noah Dobbs. And you get some kind of roster player, but roster player in futures, I think, is what you look for in this, instead of just swapping him for a better player that's maybe on a more cost-controlled deal, but doesn't really move the team forward in contention in the next 2 to 3 years.
Well, I think if I heard you correctly, I think I disagree a little bit. I do love the Kyrie return and the Kyrie.
I think player for player value, I think that's very good, considering Kyrie has, what, like 6 years at 8.1 is like 35 and 35
plus the,
guy.
Plus the prospect, which I'm not going to name.
I edit that out. But
Rocco, that's your call. You want to say it, say it. I don't, you know, or we keep it under wraps.
Rip the band-aid off, Mike.
Dalibor Dvorsky is who Dalibor Dvorsky about.
And by the way,
that would move me a serious amount.
By the way, see that little bar running across your screen right now? Subscribe to the insider tier of our Patreon, because we had this like early 2 days ago. If you're listening on Friday, we had this on Wednesday, the first to have it, by the way. So yeah, Dalibor Dvorsky, Kairou, maybe the 19th overall. I think that's a tremendous return.
I'll be honest, Mike, it would be more from us though, I believe.
Yeah, yes, that's the framework, not the full package.
Do you guys actually believe that? Something that makes me entirely nervous on this whole situation is we have a first-year GM who's a month into his tenure. I have a very hard time believing he's going to fleece Doug Armstrong. I just can't.
This was my whole thing, Jack. it was my whole thing on the Matthew Darsh hiring. Was a first-time GM having to navigate all of this.
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking now. I'm not liking it at all. I'm actually very nervous now. I want to get behind this guy, but I'm nervous as hell, man. I have no idea what he's doing.
Talk about taking this down to the wire.
21 hours out. Yeah, crazy.
Would you rather Ken Allen at this point?
No, I'd rather. No. I'm not going to say what I'd rather. We're not going down this hole.
You might want someone with experience, but think of the alternative. Would you want – imagine Bergevin in this situation.
Nope.
Oh, not him either. Ripping it. He would trade like six of these guys.
Yeah, Barcel would be a Canuck by now.
Yeah, it would be nuts. So I wouldn't really want that. I wouldn't want old man Ken Holland because it's Lou 2.0.
We're not doing this.
Whatever. I'm just defending my boy Dar because I'm the calm one here. You guys freaking out all the time. Give the boy a shot. We got till tomorrow. If the draft goes by tomorrow and he fumbles the Dobson situation or something else comes up that doesn't look too good, fine, go after him. But for now, patience. Let's give him a shot. And I agree with Mike. I like the idea of the future package, I think. Mm-hmm. It's not because I like Kyrou a lot. It's just in the grand scheme of things, when I think about creating a window, I think the bigger window can be opened with that futures deal, because you could just create a monster prospect pool. A few of them hit. You got guys on entry-level deals. Listen, I'm not going to cry if they get Kyrou at all, but some of those.
I'll be fired up.
We know.
Jackie Blues.
Yeah, Blues Den. We know.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, I'm for the future. But again, Kyrou, if there's those other guys coming with them too, it should be interesting. I'll say that. And do we want to, just before we, I guess we'll change subjects eventually, do we want to talk about that one other team, Ethan?
Yeah, okay, but
go for, I mean, they're involved. Let's discuss.
No, there's just
less info out.
No, it's not. This is not an insider thing. This is not an info thing. This is just. Can I express my personal feelings on Noah Dobson here as someone who was proudly blocked by this loser earlier last season
before he deactivated? If he comes back on Twitter, you imagine he would get lit up.
Okay. And I said a lot of this on yesterday's episode, Rocco, but it bothers me, and I feel like this is something that would greatly bother Jack as well. Goes to the negotiating table with Lou, gets laughed at. Lou walks away. Okay, that's one GM. Fires his agent. Okay, so now we're on Isles GM 2 and agent 2. Comes to the table the next year with virtually the same ask. Strikes out with GM2 with agent 2. The Elias Pettersson trade, allegedly, so we hear, blew up because of contract talks with Vancouver. That's strikeout number 3. And now we are hearing earlier today that one of the reasons why Utah's pick may not be in play is because yet another team doesn't want to hit his asking price. And even this next team that we're going to talk about, Rocco, in Montreal, which is the alleged preferred destination of one Noah Dobson, also may not be willing to meet the ask.
I got one more question on this.
Okay, well, let me just finish. Yeah, real quick.
Finish.
Okay?
Respectfully.
So, from an optics perspective, what's this fucking guy's deal? And furthermore,
entitlement.
This is maybe not an indictment on him. No, it probably is. And who he keeps company with.
We're getting into it.
For him and his fiance to schedule their wedding for not only July 1st, Canada Day. Could you I would be outraged if one of my friends sent me an invitation to a wedding on July 4th. Not just Canada Day. The lack of self-awareness, or maybe just the immense ego of this couple, to have their wedding, a hockey player seeking a large contract, to have their wedding on July 1, the opening day of NHL free agency. Are you daft? Are you out of your mind? Or are you just an egomaniac? That is insane to me. Absolutely insane. Cannot fathom. Unfathomable, some would say.
It's a great point. Crazy.
Absolutely crazy.
I thought it was a joke the first time I heard it.
Like a tinge of self-awareness, maybe. Just a little bit. That your negotiations with like five different teams are not willing to meet your price. Maybe don't hold your wedding on the day where a good amount of your colleagues are sweating over a new contract.
All right.
Crazy.
We're going to move on.
Crazy.
One thing, one more thing on this topic. It's going to be really short. So when I was reading the latest on him from Chris Johnston on The Athletic, there's they said they're working with everybody amicably. Like meaning that, you know, there's no bad blood or anything. Do you guys believe that?
No shot.
No.
Jackie definition.
No.
Yeah, I just believe everything I read, I guess, huh?
I think there has to be at least a little bit of bad blood between Miles and Dobson at this point, right? If it's, we're all saying we think it's about 95% he's traded. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, I can't imagine Darsha sitting there like, yeah, I love you, man, but you got to go. No, it's over. I think it's just done. And Ethan, is this the last couple points and then we're going to move on?
No, Montreal. Talk Montreal.
All right, Montreal. So, Ethan, some names coming out of Montreal that we could see headed our way if Dobson goes there?
I'm going to botch the pronunciation, but I've heard the name Haig.
I think that's it. I think isn't he American?
No, he's Canadian.
Well, I think it's just Haig, right? Party?
Haig?
Haig against the machine?
I think it's Haig.
Michael Haig?
Trading for Michael Haig?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the only name that I've heard.
No idea who he is.
So, I mean, he's a nice prospect, though.
The one thing with Montreal that... Yeah, he definitely is.
Mike?
What?
Go ahead. You're about to say something.
Oh, man. The thing with Montreal that I just don't get is, like, how do they trade for Dobson and then, like, when Lane Hudson wants a contract and Dobson's at $10 million and you just set the rookie assist record in the NHL, like, that just completely blows up their salary cap structure. They have all of their guys that were able to sign on, like, cheap long-term deals. So I don't know why the hell Montreal would want him.
Because you got to go get them. It's different, right? When they're in-house, you kind of can finagle them.
True.
Get them ear, whatever else. When it's you're trying to reel in the big fish, it's a little different. Sometimes you got to overpay to get that final.
Yeah.
I don't want to say final piece for them, but that big piece. Maybe they think he could.
Yeah.
And again, I don't see it with him, but maybe they think he could get them over the hump.
If his partner's Lane Hutson, my goodness, he's going to be really good.
You think they'd put them together? I think they would separate them.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they would put them together for sure.
All right.
And I think that they would be like the most offensively dangerous defensive pair maybe in the entire league, honestly.
McCarr and Taves might have a little something.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was stupid. that was stupid. Jump the gun there.
In the argument two. In the argument for two.
Okay. That's all I've got to say about
if Dobson. If Dobson gets 10 mil. Not signing until next summer, at least.
All right.
Well, hold on. Let's explore one other possibility here. 7 o'clock hits. And there's nothing.
That's what's going to happen, I think.
I don't want to be that guy. But what happens?
Gets ugly.
I'll be deep into a bottle at that point if that's what's happening.
Well, that's actually what I wanted to ask you, Ethan, is in your opinion, by let's not say 7 o'clock. Let's say by the end of the first round tomorrow, is Noah Dobson still a New York Islander?
Bro, end of the first. I'm not.
First 10 picks, whatever you want to call it, whatever cutoff you want to give.
I'm gonna say no.
I need to choose my words carefully here.
It could be a yes or no.
I need to choose my words carefully here.
All right, we're gonna be extra. Go ahead.
Rocco, I'm pulling you out of your kid's birthday party for an emergency episode. If pick 10 is come and gone, James Higgins is not an Islander, and Noah Dobson still is.
That'd be crazy. I'd be really surprised if both of those things happen. One will happen. Like either Dobson's gone or we get Higgins, in my opinion. No, I'm just guessing.
I just like calling it.
Yeah.
It's like that scene in The Office where Oscar's helping, what's her face, playing Scrabble or like Words Against Friends.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Apoplexy is what I will be feeling. I will be apoplectic.
Oof. I'm worried for what our Discord will look like. I'm worried for what Twitter will look like.
We're going to have to put the Discord cooldown mode on like 15 minutes a message.
Yeah.
That might be gen. I mean, it might have to go more. It's going to be
a war zone. I mean, I may have to explore this StreamYard setup and go live on Twitter, YouTube, or Instagram, everywhere. I mean, it's going to be a catastrophe. All right. That's even including the fact that we have already selected Matthew Schaefer at number one. I will still be upset. That's how much I hate this guy. This entire situation is ruining the fact that we are getting the best player in the draft in Matthew Schaefer.
Yeah, it's put a damper on the whole mood of the week, and it's really kind of annoying. Just get off my team already.
He took away from the joy of having the number one pick a little bit, right? Because I'm just getting mad.
Definitely has. He's taking up all the attention also. Like, dude, get over yourself. No one wants to pay you $10, $11 million.
I mean, Bartner is a more optimistic, happy-go-lucky guy than myself. I mean, has it dampened the mood for you at all? Have we lost Mike? I think we might have lost Mike.
Mike in Brooklyn? Mike in Brooklyn? You on? Mike in Brooklyn.
Yeah, he's with us. Yeah.
He just can't hear us.
He can't hear us.
It might be for the best.
That's okay. We'll give him a second to get situated. Jack, why don't you talk about it then?
No, I'm excited to grab Schaefer. It has been annoying because we've just been so focused on Dobson for the entire time. But yeah, this is 2 months in the making now. I think we've known for a while who the right pick was here. So selecting Schaefer at number one tomorrow, we're getting our defenseman of the future, maybe our future captain too. Everyone admires this kid's leadership, his maturity. It's really exciting.
Rocco.
Yeah. Super excited for him. I mean, not enough good things to say. Like, there's And Jack, like, what can you say negative about this kid? There, I feel like there's nothing. Every other prospect, you could kind of throw something out there. Schaefer just feels like he checks off all the boxes. Humble. I keep trying to tell myself and then tell other people that we just have – you got to consider the position we're in and where we thought we would have been. What was it? How long has it been since we won the lottery? Like a month, month and a half?
It's been a long time.
We're very fortunate to have the number one overall pick because we were only the 10th worst team. We finally got some luck. We're going to get this stud in the fold. So I think at first with the Dobson situation, if Shagans doesn't happen, I might be upset just a little bit about those things. But a couple days from now, I'm just going to be excited about Matthew Schaefer because I think he's going to be an absolute stud.
We're working to get Bartner back. In the meantime, give me a percentage or a level of confidence that he is on the opening night roster.
Schaefer or?
Schaefer, yeah.
I'm going to say 60% he's on the opening night roster.
Jack?
It's funny. I think it's like, I'm going to say like 90%.
It's 100.
It's 100. Yeah. 100. Dude, now, we got to fill up the seats. This is.
Out of the 90, 100. How much of that is from a marketing sales perspective versus him actually being ready?
Very little from my perspective.
All right. That's fair. But I say 60 just because I want to see. The only reason, too, is he played so few games last year, so I could see that constantly coming up and maybe play route. But I am definitely leaning he's on the Isles roster come October.
I think it's 100%. I don't even think it's close. First overall pick is going to be in the league right away. And I think his skating is so incredible that the second that Wah sees him and he's going up against whoever during these scrimmages and practices, he is going to make it impossible to keep him off the roster. He will be in the NHL come October. 100%.
Do you guys think he's going to be like our best left-handed D-man in training camp?
Maybe at least second best, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Probably. Okay. Actually, I should back it up a little bit. Pelech and Romanov are good NHL defensemen, but like, I don't know, this kid's supposed to be pretty damn good. He's got the Makar comps.
He's going to skate circles around him.
Yeah, I think Pelech and Romanov will be more consistent, but you're going to see those flashes from Schaefer where you're just like, wow, this guy might be it. Where, no disrespect to Pelech or Romanov, but being defensemen, they don't have those moments that pop. Where I just have a feeling we're going to have moments like that from Schaefer pretty quickly.
I think so. All right, I think Mike's shit is still broken, but I'm going to ask him the same question. And if he doesn't answer, we'll move on. Mike, what is your confidence level that Matthew Schaefer is in the NHL week one? Game one.
Say nothing if it's 100%.
All right. Removed from the stage, Mike. Let's see if we can get you back. Next topic, let the James begin.
Saw that, huh?
That's okay. We're doing it live. No cuts. Let the James begin. All right. We talked about this pre-show a little bit. I don't know if anyone wants to talk on some things that they've heard or not heard. There seems to be some conflicting information out there on Hagans and where he's projected to go, where some teams think he's going to go. Rocco, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, first off, I know we see a lot of people say – I don't know what was the furthest people said he could fall, but – I got on pretty good word. I think Nashville really likes him. So I could see him going at 5. I could see him going to Philly. I could see him dropping just a bit. I just don't see it being a free fall. Like I've seen people put 11, 12. This isn't that good of a draft. If it was a kid like Hagans and this was a stacked draft, I could maybe see a Barzell-esque fall where there was these little things that went on during the season that teams didn't like or whatever else. But it's not a 2015 level draft. And this is a very talented kid. This is a kid that was projected to go number one for quite some time in this draft. And a kid that didn't have a superstar college season, but had a very good season. And I think sometimes we forget when evaluating these players that Michael Misa and Caleb Desnoyer and Porter Martone are playing against much lesser competition when we look at their film and when we look at their highlights throughout the year. So I feel Higgins has almost been overanalyzed at this point, where people are looking for things to nitpick. I've always been high on him. I love the player. I want the Isles to push as hard as they can, not just from a marketing perspective, but also just because I think he is going to be a really good player in the NHL. Might take a little time, but I think when he develops fully, he's going to be very good. So hoping they find a way, but like I said, if they don't, I don't see him sliding too far.
I agree with you. I think the only thing that we have to keep in mind are the excessive amount of pro-Islander comments.
And I love it.
I love it too. And I think that there may be a world where if he does slide, that a lot of teams are going to be calling the Islanders being like, hey, come and get him. And I think there may be a little bit of extortion going on. But I think at least the feeling internally for the Islanders is that they got to get to the top five again. And maybe that's just to be absolutely certain, but I believe that that's the feeling.
I really want James Higgins on the Islanders. Like, it's just, he was supposed to be the number one overall pick for what, a majority of this last NHL regular season, maybe half of it. But the fact there's like, it's just, you know, and I'm just going to do an NFL reference for a second. I don't pay attention to the NHL. I haven't had to pay attention this closely to the NHL entry draft in probably a decade, when the Islanders were terrible all of the time. So I have to pay attention to the NFL draft, and, you know, like, they have their rankings the whole season, and then suddenly you get close to the draft, like that month before, and there's just these, the rankings just start shifting to a crazy level. And I'm not saying we should take James Higgins number one overall at all, but I do think that it's gotten a little bit ridiculous. If you can get Higgins at five, that's pretty damn good. And it just reminds me, I can't help but think, when I was in college, I went to Ohio State, got to watch Justin Fields. He's nothing crazy, but the Jets had the number two overall pick, and out of nowhere, this Zach Wilson kid from BYU is just climbing up these draft rankings. And I'm like, seeing that Fields is now getting dropped, and I'm like, these guys haven't played in like 6 months. Like, this is ridiculous. I thought it was the most ridiculous thing ever. Actually ended up wanting to keep Sam Darnold, but what happens? Zach Wilson sucks. Now Justin Fields is on my team like 3 years later. And I see this often in other leagues where, you know, we just start to overthink as we get.
Jack is trauma dumping right now. He's trauma dumping the Jets.
I mean, it's the Jets' house right now.
Yeah, like, we can remove them from the conversation, but the point stands. I think everyone's getting too cute with their little fucking rankings and everything. Like, this kid is going to be something special. He was supposed to be the first overall pick for a reason. He's dying to be an Islander. That's something that does not happen very often. I mean, yes, Palmieri coming home, that's awesome. But, like, this is, like, a star player, you know? Like, it's just it hits a little bit different. You know, him talking about how he fights like Matt Martin, his dad's yelling at Biz not to yell at Butch. Like, this is – like, we need this kid on our team. It would be awesome.
And he's just natural. It's not even just about the Islander thing. I just feel like both him and Schaefer are naturally very marketable.
Yeah.
And this is a team
for different reasons.
For different reasons. But it is a team that needs that. And it is a team, again, although we appreciate many of the things Lou did, we sort of now have to get away from that. Everything in house. You can't see inside the locker room. No access, no podcast. We kind of want to turn the other corner now. So I think if you could find a way to get these two kids to jumpstart it, I mean, how much fun is that going to be?
A ton. But I'd love to see it happen. I really would.
That's what I
just, my confidence dwindles by the hour.
I agree.
Yeah. I don't really, I think it was always one of those things, like, I kind of realized this like a week ago. It's one of those things that we are not going to know until the moment happens tomorrow night. And when they stand up there and they're going through those draft picks, like, we are just going to have to wait so patiently for the official announcement. And it's painful, man. It's just been slow. It's gone on forever, but this is finally going to happen. Now, do you think there's a possibility, like, the Boston Bruins actually select him and are like, all right, Islanders, like, what would you send for us? Or once he's drafted and that's it.
They just hold him hostage.
They just hold him hostage. Like, we don't even think you're good, but fuck those Islander fans.
We don't see that too often with the NHL, where the guy puts on the one hat and then it's like the right. Eli Manning with the Chargers.
Yeah, like, that's some NBA stuff, right?
Yeah,
there.
That's some NBA stuff. I'm shocked NBA stuff came out of Jack's mouth.
I know.
Ugh, I'm disgusted.
LA takes a hold, the guys. But yeah. It's just I don't know. I could see Boston taking him, and just honestly, that's a nice connection, right? He plays at BC, goes right to the Bruins. That's another nice fit. So I just, like, you look at these teams, Nashville, Philly, Boston. I think if those three pass on them, it's literally crazy. Like, who are you picking that has such higher upside that you pass on a James Higgins? I don't see it unless there's really something there that's scaring teams away for some reason in a major way. I just can't see it. Even the Islander thing. You could say, oh, the Islander thing might be scaring teams away. He loves the Islanders, whatever else. You still have the rights to this kid till he's 27. It's not like you have him for 3-4 years and then he's gone. You have him for a while. And how many times do we see players that might not love it at the beginning, or you hear, you know, they didn't really want to go there, but then they fall in love with it. Long Island Exhibit A prior to UBS. A lot of players fell in love and would stay. So it's not out of the realm of possibility he goes somewhere else and then just stays.
It's almost cringy to me how much he's fallen. Like, I just don't understand it.
Do we think
clickbait? It's clickbait. It's a lot of bullshit. It's a lot of
smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of smoke season, fellas.
So much smoke. Too much smoke all the time. Right,
I'm
going
to die of smoke inhalation by the time the draft rolls around.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to skip draft sleepers because that was special for Mike, whose internet crapped out for the second time today. And we can go to the Q&A, which I have pulled up here. If you want to submit questions for future episodes, get in the Discord, subscribe to the Patreon. I believe we take questions for the $5 tier, the toy department tier, and up. Link on the banner scrolling right beneath Rocco right now. All right, from the Bry Man. Who is the guy in the top 10 who is most likely to be the biggest flop, and who is the guy in the top 10 to 12 other than Higgins that is being undersold on star potential? Rocco, I'm going to let you answer this since you're our draft guy.
Okay, so who has potential to be the biggest flop? I'm going to go with Porter Martone because I just think if the skating never comes around, I think he turns into like a Arthur Kaliev where it's just a lot of skill, but the guy can't really move too much. The skating's below average. It really is. It's something he has to work on. And I know we constantly say about these players, especially at the draft, it's something you can fix. Ethan, Jack, how often do we see skating get fixed?
Very, very infrequently.
I think that's a very overused term, that you could fix skating. Your skating can improve. You're not just going to become a great skater from a below average skater in your draft year. You might become average. You might become slightly above average. But Porter Martone, to me, will never be a great skater. And I think he will go high. I think he might go above Higgins because, according to what I've heard, some teams have him above Higgins on this. So I'm going to label him as the biggest flop. Now, as far as the biggest steal, this is tough. Let me think.
I'll tell you someone I've heard being a great steal from being where I was last night around some like reporters and everyone in LA.
No big deal.
Met Matthew Schaefer last night. No big deal.
Name drop.
But the Martin kid. Everybody loves
Brady Martin.
Brady Martin. Everybody loves this Martin kid. Now, I'm not a prospect expert, but don't be surprised if maybe he climbs up the boards a little bit. What's the consensus on him? Like, where's he supposed to go?
Well, supposedly Utah loves him.
I think it was Utah. Yeah.
But we don't know if it's true love or if it's a smokescreen because it's draft season, baby. So I could see him going four. I could see him sliding a little past. But the player I was actually going to say is Jake O'Brien. I'm a big fan of his game. He's got a lot of skill, great passer, really good instincts. And he's one of these guys, and I like to target guys like this in the draft, that maybe is a little undersized weight-wise. Because to me, that is something you can fix. If a guy weighs 175 and you just got to get him into the weight room a little bit more and put him on a regimen, that to me you can fix. So if you could get a player like Jake O'Brien with that skill set, have him put on some muscle in the next 2 to 3 years as he develops, I think he could be a monster. I really like the player. This is someone prior to us winning the lottery, thank God, because I was watching the Radim Mertkas and Jake O'Briens of the world. This is who I was hoping we would get. Really good player. I would, just for me personally, I would say that has potential to be the biggest steal.
All right. Next question. I don't know if we can do this entirely, but our buddy Josh Elkin would be curious for a top 10 mock, including trades, if that's something that you guys want to cover.
You want me to try to rip it without?
I mean, I'm happy to help you.
No trade. I have a bold. I actually have a bold prediction. I'm not going to do a mock. I'm going to let you do it. But I do. I don't know why. No reporting. No nothing. I genuinely just don't believe San Jose is making that pick. I think they're going to trade it because I don't think they need another forward. I think they desperately need a defenseman. I don't know why Dobson for the second overall pick hasn't even been mentioned.
Oh,
interesting.
Well, now my mock is going to be underwhelming.
Well. That's okay. I feel like we could still play around with some trades. Yeah. But let's just rip it. Ready? Number one, Matthew Schaefer. Done.
Done. Two.
San Jose.
This is what we thought number two was going to be simple. It is now getting interesting. I asked around, and I told you guys. The answers were now about 50-50 between Misa and Frondell. And honestly, and again, I might be fooled by the smoke. But I low-key think it's Frondell at two.
Really?
I think it's Frondell. And I think the Hawks have Misa slide to them. I think teams are getting obsessed with these big two-way forward European name, and they could compare to
Barkov.
That's all. Everyone's talking about, he could be like Barkov. What? I mean, who are we talking about here? We talk about Barkov, not a – almost generational talent. If you like, the guy's a monster, and we're just going to throw that out every year about players. Oh, he could be Barkov.
Boomer.
Got to yell at my dog.
I thought you were yelling at me for being a little old, but
no.
Okay.
No.
So I'm just going to say it could change, but Frondell 2, Misa 3. Now we're at Utah at 4. Jack, I think it's fair to go Brady Martin at 4, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Nashville.
Whoa. We're skipping ahead. All right. So Misa 3, who at 4?
Brady Martin.
Okay. Brady Martin at 4. You think they stick and pick Brady Martin?
If they stick. I'm just going stick. I'm not going trades.
Okay.
Number 5.
This is where things get scary.
James Higgins.
Yeah.
Breaks my heart. Barry steals it.
At least he's in good hands.
He is.
Actually.
Number 6 is Philly.
6 is Philly.
6 is Philly. I'm going to go tough between
Martone.
I was going to say between O'Brien and Desnoyers. And Martone. Martone's in there too. I'm going to go Desnoyers. I think teams are high on him. 7 is Boston. I'm going to go O'Brien because the name O'Brien just really fits in Boston. Number eight is Seattle. I could see them doing like a Martone.
Well,
or Radim Mertka.
Can I execute our first mock draft trade?
Go for it.
Is there a world in which the Penguins take 11 and 12 and go up to 8 to select Mertka?
Don't you think that's a bit of an overpay, 11 and 12 to get to 8?
I mean, it depends on how you view the drop-off.
Maybe they throw a second in there to even it out. But, yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
If Higgins is available at 8, you think that they would take Dobson for Higgins right there? I think they would because of Lane Lambert.
The main issue with Dobson is would he take them? That's our dilemma.
Yeah, that's the dilemma.
Sorry to open up that can of worms.
I'm just trying to get through 10 here, Jack, and you got to
bring just go on, go on.
All right, so 8, we're going to pretend the Penguins trade up and take Mertka. Who's 9? Buffalo?
Buffalo.
Buffalo will probably be – maybe they're the Martone spot. And then 10 is – who's 10?
10 is – who's 10? The Ducks.
Ooh, Ducks.
McQueen?
McQueen. It just sounds like a duck.
He does.
He does.
Okay, that's our 10.
It's our 10. TR Josh, any Duclair rumblings? No rumblings. He'll be on the roster.
In any direction. What's going on with him? I think he's going to be on the roster, but just nothing about him at all.
Yeah.
Which is probably a good thing, right?
Yeah. If when he makes the team, who was from Scuds? If when he makes the team, who would you want to see Schaefer be paired with? Yeah.
I think you got to go Pulak. I mean,
I think so.
Pulak, I think.
This guy better be fucking ready to go. It's going to have to be Ryan Pulak. He better be ready to go. He is not screwing up this kid's development. Like, it's got to be Ryan Pulak because actually, if he's going to play like a third pairing type of role at first,
Mayfield,
try to ease him in. I feel more, this might sound crazy, but I am way more comfortable with Mayfield than Pulak because with Mayfield,
I actually agree with you.
You always know what you're going to get. Pulak, it's just up and down. He's inconsistent. Like Mayfield will do all the right things all the time.
Yeah.
One of those two.
From Joey, can we get back up to 4?
Maybe.
Clock's ticking, my friend. I'm not optimistic at 10:27 on Thursday evening.
It's possible, though. We can't rule it out.
I think it's possible. Anything
is possible. Believe it and it will happen.
Yes. Thank you, Michael Strahan.
You're welcome.
All right. I think that's it. We can wrap up. Thank you to Mike for joining us for at least half the episode. Mike, go contact Verizon Fios and get your internet situated. Subscribe to the Patreon. We've got well over 100 folks in there. I think we're close to 140 right now and growing every single day. The greatest Islanders community on social media right now. Great conversation every day. If you're psychotic like we are, I promise you'll have a good time. Follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. This will be up on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, iTunes, Spotify, the works. And I'm sure we'll talk to you guys in another day or two based on how things go down on Friday.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep, he can't hang around. Io's house, in the middle of our street. Io's house.